Good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. That is Alamo, the place to be on Sundays. For anyone who's looking for a new church home or just one to visit, our church is located at 4071 North Foster Road. Come and worship with us any Sunday morning at 10:30. Everyone is welcome. The scripture chosen for the opening of our service today is taken from Psalm 72, as printed in the New King James Version of our Bible. And it reads, "Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. He will judge your people with righteousness, and your poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy, and will break in pieces the oppressor. And they shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure. Throughout all generations, he shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. In his days, the righteous shall flourish, and abundance of peace until the moon is no more." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Gene. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Amen. Could I get you to stand, please, for me this morning, if you're able? Would you please stand? Stand, if you could, hold hands with each other this morning, would you? This is our first service of the new year, 2025. And I want us to get close to the Lord this morning. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, and knowing this is the first Sunday of the new year. But Lord, to you, you're good every day, every Sunday. But we just want to say thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you for bringing us thus far. Through all the trouble and all the problems and all the issues, we know that you are still right here with Alamo, and we thank you for it, Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to guide us and lead us and help us, Lord, to be the congregation you want us to be. Bless those that are here and bless those that are not here, that can't be here, Lord. We ask for your mercy. We ask for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, while you're still standing, could you please pass the peace? Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Let us pray. It is better in prayer to have a heart without words than words without heart. Whether we realize it or not, prayer is the encounter of God's thirst with ours. God thirsts that we may thirst for him. Prayer enlarges the heart until it is capable of containing God's gift of himself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Cheryl. Will you stand for our opening hymn? Oh, come all ye faithful.
King of Angels.
You may be seated.
Please join me in prayer for our offering. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with each of us as we make the decision for the amount to give. And Lord, we ask that whatever the offering is, you make it be sufficient for whatever use you have of it. Lord, we ask this in your holy name.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Our first reading is from Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Jesus prays in a solitary place. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Our second reading is from Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Which reads, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks to all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Oh, God.
Well done, top choir. Well done.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again for the day you've given us. We pray, Lord, that you make it be worthy of the gift of you giving it to us. And Lord, we ask that you be with our pastor and with Heather as they address us and the children. And give us the message that you have given them. And Lord, help us to take that message into the community and share it with other persons this day and all those. In your holy name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I have a word for you this morning. I have a word from you from the Lord, from His Word. Amen? It's a very important word, and it's going to help you. It's going to help you to get through this new year. Actually, it's going to help you to get through any year, because God's Word is like that. It is the guiding lamp for us as we journey through on this earth to heaven. Our title this morning is Back to the Basics. And I couldn't help but think, my football team is at the end of the road, and there's nothing for them left to do. And I keep hearing this same old theme that they do every year. We're going to go back to the basics. What does that mean? What does that mean to go back to the basics? Well, that means that's where you start over. You start to where doing the right thing, because in football, everything builds upon one skill and then another skill. So if you don't have the basics down, if you don't have the basics of running and catching and passing, then you can't go forward. And it's kind of like that with God's Word. I mean, kind of like that with the Christian life. We have to be able to go back to the basics for the Lord with what the Lord, and one of the first things that the Lord, when he was on this earth, one of his most powerful tools or weapons was the power of prayer. The power of prayer. And going forward, prayer is one of the most important spiritual disciplines that you can have. And we're going to find out why this is. So we're going to start a new four-week series, and we're going to call it Back to the Basics. And it's a series about the very basics of our faith, the very foundations of our faith. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to start with prayer, and then we're going to do scripture, and then we're going to do confession, and we're going to do service. So we're going to have a good time together, because we're going to journey together, and we're going to lead and learn and go back to the feet of our Lord Jesus. We're going to go back to where the church originally began, listening and learning as disciples with Jesus leading us the way. In other words, we're going to go back and we're going to learn what Jesus taught about these things, and because he is the author and he's the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And this comes from Hebrews 12:2, and we're going to follow him. So, but thinking about our Lord and speaking of him, has any of you ever wondered how in the world he was able to accomplish all he did in such a short period of time? Any of you ever wondered how he did that? What was his secret? What did he have? Somebody, I heard it out loud. Somebody said it. Right. What did he have? He had this. He prayed. He prayed. And all of us know Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father. And God sent him into the world so that he might save the world through him. And we know Jesus did this accomplishment because he was destined to do it when he was crucified on the cross and he rose again on the third day after 3 days. So we know that this proves his ministry. But the question still remains, how was he able to accomplish all that he did? Our Lord had the benefits of being the divine Son of God, and that's awesome. But there's another part of our Lord's life that when he was here on this earth, that we simply cannot understate it. And that is his prayer life. His prayer life. He was always in communion and conversation with his Heavenly Father. Hint, hint, hint. If Jesus had to do it, surely his followers are going to have to do it too. Amen? Amen. And from what we know, from all the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it appears that our Lord, he kept a regular rhythm of prayer throughout his life. He always found time to pray. Always. Always he felt, even if he had to make time. And he's giving us a hint, teaching us that we're going to have to do the same thing. You see, and if prayer was his foundational part, God's only Son, then it needs to be a foundational part of our lives as well. So, to believe that our Lord can reach us and bless us in everyday life, that is awesome, and that is the very stuff of prayer. But when we pray genuinely, when we pray, the real condition of our hearts is revealed to the Lord. You see, when you get down on your knees or stand up or wherever you have to go, and you pour your heart out to the Lord, he sees your heart, and he knows exactly where you're coming from. He knows what you need, but he wants you to be in conversation with him because he loves you very much. And one of the first things that comes in mind about this prayer life is that he was constant in his prayer life. He did it all the time. And if you, some of you already know, praying constantly, that's a pretty tough task, and it ain't easy to do. And there may be some, even right now, who said, you know what, I'm not listening to this. This is way too much for me. This is over my head. This is just too hard. But you keep listening to me, and you're going to learn something this morning from the Lord's teaching. He say, and it says, he's not going to ask you to do something that's impossible. But and I don't believe that God would invite us to do something that we could never do. So, and even if he did that, he sent his blessed Holy Spirit to help us, which is something that we're going to talk about a little later. But now, let's take a look, our attention toward 1 Thessalonians verses 5, 16 through 18. And if you look in your bulletin, you'll find that passage, and I want you to just read them. Just find it and just read along with me what it says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, and it is in your bulletin. It says, rejoice always. Pray continually. Ah, there it is. Pray always. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So you can see that he wants us to pray all the time, constantly, and even in season, out of season, when it's good, when it's bad, when you don't feel like it, when you feel like it. Pray anyway. Pray anyway. It says that and that last part of that verse, of that scripture, talks about the very will of God. That is God's will in your life. It's to pray constantly. A lot of people say, well, what is God's will in my life? What does he want me to do? Well, you can see right here in the scripture, he wants you to pray all the time. He wants you to pray all the time. You know, well, I don't have time to pray, preacher. I can't do it. You know, I got too much other things to do. Keep listening to me. You're going to find out some things about how the Lord took care of this. So, In 1 Thessalonians, this is plain and simple about his God, his will. You can know his will. His will is that you pray constantly. Now, The problem is, it's not so simple. It's not easy. Even in the midst of a billion distractions and temptations, it's hard to remain steadfast in prayer and thanksgiving. And yet, that's what God wants us to do. It's a life of consistency with Him. So our prayer must be constant. And it's awesome to think that the Creator of the universe wants to be in constant communication with us here on earth. And He does. He wants to know what's going on in your life. Not that He doesn't already know, but He wants to hear it from you. He wants to talk to you. So I want you to try this in your prayer life. Tell Him about the simple stuff, the ordinary things that you may find is not important. It doesn't always, your prayer doesn't always have to be crisis level prayer or prayers of desperation, you know. Try thinking of your prayer life as an ever open line of communication, a phone call that never that you can always keep open, and folks won't hang, they won't hang up on you. The Lord will never hang up on you. Another thing about our prayer that He taught is you must be bold. You must be bold. You must have confidence when you come before the Lord. It says bold prayer. Now that takes a lot of practice. It's actually difficult to reconcile the fact that we must have reverence and awe of God, and at the same time, we got to be bold. We got to come before the Lord, you know, like we know Him, and we have that confidence that He's going to answer. You don't want to come to the Lord, well, you know what, Lord, I don't know, you know, I'll accept whatever You want, but Lord, you know, what You're saying is you really don't believe it, but I'm going to You anyway. You've got to come with boldness and confidence before the Lord. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. You see, you have someone standing in for you, even right now. And He is our great high priest. And He is there because He loves us. And He is making intercession for you and for me when we need things. And if you go even further in 1 John, it says, and this is the confidence that we have toward Him. Do you have confidence in your prayer life? Do you believe that God will answer you when you pray to Him? Or are you just kind of saying, you know, praying just for the sake of hearing yourself talk? So you must be constant and you must be bold in your prayer life. That is extremely important. Now, another part of our prayer, the power of prayer today is prayer is for everyone. You got to be bold and you got to be constant. And that's a huge task. It takes a lot of practice. It takes faith. It takes faith in Jesus that He will hear you. And it takes you out of your comfort zone. And I can also tell you that the world around you and us, it needs our constant and bold prayers. In fact, you need to be consistent and bold all the time in your prayer life. But there's something else about our prayer life that Jesus taught. He taught that prayer was for everyone. And this one may be hard to take this morning. It may be hard for you to wrap your minds around. But Jesus wants you to pray for everyone. Listen to me now. He wants you to pray for everyone, even those that don't like you. Even those that you may not like. You may not be able to stand that person, but guess what? Jesus wants you to pray for that person. And he tells us this. Matthew 5:46-47. He says, if you love those who love you, this is Jesus talking, what reward will you get? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, the ones that you like, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? In other words, Our Lord, he wants you to pray for those who don't like you. What am I saying? He wants you to pray for your enemies. It's so easy to love and pray for those who we care for. It's difficult to pray for those who may have wronged us or even harmed us and done things to us. Those who have maybe created an offense against us. And yet, those are the very people Jesus says we should be praying for. Those are the people who need our prayers. You know, and at the end of the day, folks, remember this. When you feel like that you just can't pray for your enemy, remember this verse in Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. It says, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, even in our sins. You see, he traded our life for others. So when you get to thinking, well, I can't pray for him because he did this, remember what you did. Remember how the Lord forgave you. Oh, he forgave you. So prayer is a very important part of Jesus' life and his ministry. And no matter what else was going on, he always made time for prayer. He always sought fellowship with the Father. Mark 1:35 says this, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went to a solitary place. This is where he prayed. Dear friends, this morning I say to you, if Jesus did it, if the Master did it, then surely his disciples, we ought to be praying. We ought to be praying a whole lot more than. Let me say it's me, because I know you pray a lot. So I'll just put this on me. I need to pray a whole lot more than what I do. I need to pray a whole lot more. I need to make time for prayer. I found out you can make all the plans you want for your prayer time and devotion. All of that is great, but I find myself cheating on the Lord sometimes. You just have to do it, folks. You just have to just sit down and do it. Put your mind to it. Say, yes, I'm going to spend this time with the Lord, and I don't care what anybody says. You know. So, as we seek to learn from him, we acknowledge the power of prayer in the life of our Lord. And as we follow him, we too must be people of prayer. So it's a fundamental piece of our life in Christ. It's all part of our journey. Prayer. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. I've heard that so many times still. It just ingrained in my mind. So remember this. Here's some challenges for you this coming week. Some challenges for you, something that you can do. What time every day this coming week can you stop and pray? Constant prayer. What big thing, what thing that concerns you, what hard thing do you need to be bold in prayer during this coming week? And the third thing, praying for everyone. What enemy needs your prayer this week? Who is it that doesn't like you or you doesn't like that needs prayer this week? As we close this morning, I'd like to read to you Ephesians 6:18. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go there with me and read it with me. Read Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18. It's a wonderful verse, and it comes from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. 6:18. Close. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Don't forget, dear ones, pray always. Constant, be bold, and pray for everyone. Don't let a day go by that you don't offer your thanks and tell the Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. The Lord will surely bless you as he's blessing you now. You want him to bless you. You can be a blessing to him by praying
and staying in constant communication with Him. May the Lord bless you and keep you and help you to have a great prayer life. In the name of the Father and the Son. Amen. God bless you this morning. God bless you this morning.
As we prepare for the invitation this morning, I want you to remember that prayer is so very
of the invitation is Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Us with a wonderful time to take part in His communion, and He's given us the opportunity to be obedient to the scripture where He said to do this. So in your hymnals, or it's up on the screen, if you would, turn to page 12. Page 12 in your hymnals. Page 12. The invitation. Amen. Don't have the book, it's up on the screen there. The invitation. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him. Do you love Him this morning? Have you repented of your sins? And who earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At this time in silence, would you make your confession right now before the Lord? Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. The great Thanksgiving on page 13.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts and lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who
comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, he gave thanks to you. He broke the bread, he gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks to you. Gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ is died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and feast at the heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, glory, and forever. Come forward, please.
Kenneth in your thoughts and prayers. Just Lord, be with all of us as we start this new year.
Let us continue to pray for everyone who is ill or in any other need, especially Ken. Now, every time that I've seen him in the church since I've been coming here, I have seen him come down the aisle, come up and tell me that he was praying for my wife and me. And you know, the man is a kind, sweet gentleman. Let's keep him in our prayers. Now, for the benediction, let us hear the scripture, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They will gather together. They will come to you. You, your sons, shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you." And this comes from, I had it all written down. My typewriter doesn't work anymore. Oh, my writing is a little difficult. As we leave here today, let us remember to keep all of our ill and homebound in care in our prayers, and watch out for the traffic, and remember all of our loved ones.
I'll stand and sing our closing hymn, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."
Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King. Father, the mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, joyful. Building flesh, the Godhead.